Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. The Apostle Peter, in his desire to encourage, uplift, strengthen, unify, and deepen the love and relationships, deepen the love in the church, in the home, in the community, he references an Old Testament verse, and I want us to read it, and then we're going to turn to it. But 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, let's begin in verse 7. It says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another." That means be friendly, be kind, be welcoming. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. I found it interesting that word grumbling means to murmur. It also means secret debate. How many couples at times are grumbling, murmuring, they're debating to keep it secret, but there's just that tension there. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And Father, we do ask you that you would take your word and, Lord, light our hearts on fire. Thank you for the music this morning that has elevated and shifted and turned our eyes upon Jesus to look full in your wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. And Father, I pray that you would minister deeply, impact, influence husbands and wives and families on this day. And Lord, may we walk out of here with a submitted, surrendered, serious, sober heart to say, I said I do and I will. And so, Lord, we ask that you would bless this time. We will give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 10. So Peter, again, in his emphasis that love covers a multitude of sins, gets his text from Proverbs 10, verse 11. Verse 12, actually. It says, hatred, anger, malice, wrath. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. That word cover, back in 1 Peter, means this: to hide, to veil. I love this definition: to hinder the knowledge of a thing. And so when the Bible says in 1 Peter that love covers a multitude of sins, it is saying when it comes to your loved one, specifically today when it comes to your spouse, to love them in such a way that instead of exposing and highlighting their shortcomings and their sins, you veil them, you hide them, and you hinder the knowledge of that specific thing. Now, to be clear, the Bible is not talking about a cover-up. If there is unconfessed sin or a blatant offense that has taken place and it is unresolved, that must be dealt with. But if it is a grave sin or a foolish blunder or a terrible misjudgment that was committed by your spouse, if it has been repented of, if it has been forsaken, if it has been put to death, please hear me, through the power and only through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can, through Christ's love, cover over that sin. Jesus' blood did not cover up our sin. He dealt with it on the cross. But Jesus' blood covered over our sin. and forgave a multitude of our sins. I love Psalm 103. Verse 12 says this, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions and our sins from us." It's a picture of the cross. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us and covered us in his blood. And so it's not covering up, it is covering over our shortcomings, our sins, our blunders. I had a spouse talk to me recently with a very heavy heart, and they said, my spouse, they just can't seem to ever let go of the past. It is always there. If I do something wrong, it's resurrected. If I make a mistake, it's unearthed and the trial seems to begin all over again. If we're in an argument, they use it as leverage. Uncovered. I was thinking this week, preparing for this message, about September 24th, 2005. And I stood where I'm standing right now. Actually, I was at that moment down on the floor, and the back door opened, and Lindsay began to play the wedding ceremony song. Well, I want to just show you something. I'll be right back. Just be a great time of awkward silence. So, September 24, 2005, the doors opened, and I saw this dress on my wife-to-be, Carrie. Now, I don't think that I have seen that until this morning, since our wedding day, and all kinds of thoughts and memories and excitement and gratitude and thanksgiving were welling up in my heart. But I want you to look at that dress. What does that dress represent? It displayed all of the good about my wife. Her beauty, her purity, her joy, her excitement, her personality, her kindness, her love for God, her love for me. And she stood there and walked down this aisle and gave herself to me, and I gave myself to her. And when we're standing here, my dad said, "Son, do you think you want to move forward with this?" Yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I will. Yes, we are. Yes, I am. Let's vow. Let's pray. Let's eat. Let's dance. Let's go. I'm ready. I'm 25. Let's do this thing. It was absolutely. I love that day. Because after 14 years of marriage, I'm so thankful that my wife is a wife that still sees the good in me. And I still see the good in her. And we are best friends. And we still enjoy one another. Because there has been much, much more on her side of the equation, a lot of covering going on in our marriage. And it has made a beautiful thing. And I'm thankful for it. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 19, towards the end of your Bible. As The Lord is closing out his word to his people, to his children, to his bride, and giving us a picture of what things are to come. I want you to look at this. I love this. One of my favorite verses is Revelation 19, verse 6. I won't explain all this setting, but you'll see it enough. Revelation 19, 6, after the victory over the enemy, it says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah." That's a word for praise the Lord. "For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." Now get this, verse 8. "And to her it was granted to be arrayed." It was granted for her to be dressed in. It was granted for her to be covered. It was granted for her to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The fine, bright, white, radiant linen on the bride of Christ is the righteousness of Jesus Christ and our righteousness through Christ's power that is shining from us. And when Christ looks at his bride, he doesn't see all of our mistakes. He doesn't see our past. When God the Father looks down at us, the bride of his Son, he doesn't see our past. He doesn't see our terrible mistakes. He sees a total makeover because we have been washed in the blood of his Son, the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that when it's time for the marriage ceremony to take place in heaven, we, Christ's bride, are going to be arrayed, covered in his righteousness. And he's going to see all of the blessings. He's going to see all of the holiness. He's going to see all of our righteousness and all the things that were ugly and in the past are going to be covered by his righteousness. Back to Psalm 103, it begins like this. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and do not forget all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's what Christ sees. That's what God the Father sees. He sees us as a bride because as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us, and we're covered and we're blessed and we're arrayed in the righteousness of Christ. And we ought to be excited about that. Oh, that husbands and wives would look at each other like Christ looks at us, that we've been covered, that we've been forgiven, that the past is past, the future is the future, and we can move forward in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 32. Verse 1, David, who was a very spotted man, David, who was a very sinful man, look what it says. He writes these words, inspired of God, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Blessed. That is a word for happy. You want to have a happy marriage? You want to have a harmonious marriage? You want to have a holy marriage? The Bible says, blessed is he, happy is he, happy is she whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Above all things, have fervent charity, have fervent love for one another. As Gary mentioned, that word love in this verse, that word fervent means having passionate intensity without ceasing, stretched out. Have fervent love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. And it will lead to a life of enjoyment and harmony. And you can be hospitable and friendly and kind and welcoming with one another once again without grumbling and murmuring and debating. But it takes a husband looking at his wife through the lenses of the blood of Christ and say, you know what? I'm going to cover over that. And it takes a wife looking at her husband and saying, you know what? I'm going to cover over that. I'm not going to keep bringing that up again and again and again. It's been forgiven. It's been covered. It is over. When Carrie and I got married in 2005, we immediately went over to Bradford. So we came back and forth. I was working pastoring the preteens here, the 9 to 12-year-olds, but most of our early 3 years of our marriage, we were there and we would come back as our home church supported us. And after we were there for a little while, we met a couple named Charlie and Belva Jones. And they were an older couple, got to start getting to know them a little bit. They were faithful to church. They started bringing in their family. We were excited to have them. They invited us over to their home one night for dinner, and they told us their story. And it kind of blew our minds as newlyweds. Belva just died this week. She was 82. Here's a picture of them. This is Charlie and Belva Jones. Good old Kentucky names. And she just passed away last week. But they had us in their home, and they told us a little bit of their history. And they said, we were married in 1956. We had a son, and at that time they did not walk with the Lord, know the Lord, and their marriage began to become distant and divisive, and eventually they parted ways, and he divorced Belva and went on and married another woman, and then Belva remarried, and then that man divorced her, and then just a lot of brokenness, a lot of heartache, sin, and the consequences that followed. And then it was about 1995. So you fill in, they were probably married maybe for 2 or 3 years, divorced. And so from the late 60s or the late 50s, until 1995, there was brokenness and heartache and mixed families and all of the things that goes into that. And they happened to run back into each other. Both of their lives continued to spiral down. They'd both divorced their spouses that they had married after their first marriage. And so it was just, and they ran into one another. And God began to bring healing and kindness and hospitality and begin to rebuild their love for one another. And in 1995, they were remarried, and they've been faithfully married to one another until she just passed away this week. And you look at that and you say, man, that's a lot of details. that's kind of, you know, twisted and mangled. Hey, look, if we all told our story here today, it would be messy too. And none of us are above reproach, or all of us have some kind of a past. But God in his grace restored that after so much sin and brokenness. And they surrender their lives to Christ. They experience the covering and the forgiveness and the grace of God after a lot of years of heartache. And then they both came back together and a new surrender and a new submission. You say, how in the world could these two people go through all of that experience and then come back together and be married for 25 more years? I'll tell you how. A lot of covering. A lifetime of covering. Of saying, boy, if we wanted to, we could bring our past with us every day into all of this. And yet, year after year after year, they showed their family about the covering grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you this morning, some of you say, I am tired, I'm fatigued, I'm worn out, I am just overwhelmed with having a experience of a marriage where it just seems like things are always exposed. Well, first, I would just encourage you, make sure that you have done your part to repent of any sin or sins that you've committed that you need to make right. You say, I have done that. I've done it multiple times and it never seems to work. But you take care of you, and then you begin to pray for your spouse. And whichever side of that equation, maybe it's a joint, maybe you both need to have a real good repenting session with the Lord and with one another and say, I want to stay with you. I want to be with you. I want our children to see our marriage be covered by the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And apart from the Holy Spirit, that won't happen. Apart from you making sure that you are fully surrendered and submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that will not happen. But if you say, Jesus, I am undone. Cover me with your grace. I repent of my sins. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 says, I can. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And I could go to each section of this building this morning and have different couples stand that were torn apart. Even couples that are sitting here like Charlie and Belva who got into divided from one another, divorce, and now I stood up here a few years ago and remarried them, and they're more faithful than they've ever been. And so we could go, and there's testimonies all over this room, but maybe your testimony is, hey, we're struggling, we're hurting. My challenge to you would be this. Make sure you are covered in the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus' blood, and then pass that on to your spouse. And leave the results up to God. Above all, have fervent love for one another, for love covers, it veils, it hides, it hinders the knowledge of a thing, of multiple sins. Lindsay, you come. Would you just take a moment to bow your head and try to remove the distractions? If your marriage is struggling, the enemy is going to fight all he can to try to keep the status quo right where it is. But our God is greater, our God is stronger. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, now to him, not to you, not to your spouse, now to him who is able, now to him who is able to do exceedingly far above all that we can ask or think. There have been many marriages, some sitting in this room this morning, that said, we are done, we are over. They're here. Because a lot of covering took place. I know it's a personal thing. I know it's a private thing. But maybe you need to come today and just kneel before the Lord and say, Lord, I need to be covered, and I need to start covering. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and the joy of our union together. Would you stand this morning, Father? We're so thankful and grateful for the cross. When we look at this picture of a beautiful wedding gown at the cross, it is a picture, Lord, of how you look at us, that because of your blood that was spilled on the cross, you see us radiant, bright. And that brightness is the righteousness of the saints of God. Because you have chosen, Lord, to focus on all of the good about us. And so, Lord, I pray today if there are husbands and wives that need to, Lord, have a revival in their marriage, a renewal in their marriage, they need refreshing in their marriage, I pray that right now, in the power of the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would begin to work tenderness, that you would begin to work surrender, that you would begin to work a willingness to say, I will take care of my part. And Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here today that needs to come and just kneel before you and have a covering ceremony, that they would feel welcome to do that. And Lord, that you would just cover us this morning with your anointing and your spirit. And that we would go home today with a different perspective. That we would look at our spouse as you look at us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together. If you need to come, you come.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence day.
Just to close us in prayer and just pray for our marriages today, that we would be united and covered in God's love. And I'll just say, by the way, great job singing today. Proud of you for that. But I just want to thank the Lord for a godly wife, a kind wife, a hospitable wife. I've always said Carrie is the most genuinely kind, sweet person I've ever known, and she still is. So I would just encourage you to cover one another.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just praise you and thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is present and here this morning, and for how you're working and moving in hearts and lives. And God, as we focus on marriage this morning, Lord, I pray that as husbands and wives, we would come before you first with clean hands and pure hearts, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would come before each other with clean hands and pure hearts. And God, that we would be the husband and wives that you desire us to be. That we would keep you first and one another second, Lord. That we would do things decently and in order. God, I just pray that we would love our spouses like you love us, your church, your bride, Lord. And God, as we leave here today, Lord, if there's marriages that are struggling, I pray that today would be the day where things change through your power and your strength, Lord. I pray that you would bless the husbands and wives in here, that we would live for you and serve you and bring you honor and glory through our marriages. It's in your precious name we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen. Above all, have fervent love for one another and for your church family. So nice to have you today. You're dismissed.
Spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. So, so kind to me. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn. Yeah. shatter, you won't light up. Mountain, you won't.